20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Connick. Hope you're having a great Victory Monday. Packers, another win, 20-15 over the Washington Redskins yesterday. We are breaking down the post-game action from that victory at Lambeau. And joining me today is it's another new one for me. Two days in a row here in this week, I've gotten to work with a new face, to me at least, at the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's another one of the good guys here. It's Mike Wendland. Mike, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I cannot complain about 10-3. It's, if you would have asked me if they had this record a year ago, I would have laughed in your face, but it's a great time to be a Packer fan right now.
I'm really glad that you start off with that, because I'm trying to talk my dad off of the ledge during the game, and you know I'm looking on Twitter about everyone just ups, like, you know, complaining about this up and down. And granted, there was a lot to be kind of disappointed with, and I think, you know, LaFleur and everybody there, you know, kind of knows that this isn't a fully functioning team, especially offensively. But it's really hard to look 10-3 in the face and say that you're, you know, upset by it, or it's really hard to be the cynical about, you know, a 10-3 start.
No, you're absolutely right. It's one of those things where I understand that there's a lot of things to work on. There's a lot of things that didn't go right. There's players that didn't perform the way we expected. But the one thing that Al Davis got right, even throughout his entire life, whether you liked him or not, was just win, baby. All that matters is the number in that win column. And now that we're in double digits, they're the number two seed in the NFC right now. If the season ended today, and it started this coming weekend with the playoffs, they would have a bye week. I'll take that. Yes, they haven't played a complete game yet. Yes, they had some issues. Yes, they need to be more consistent. But at the end of the day, they're 10-3. They've lost two games in the NFC. They are undefeated in the division right now. That's all I can ask for.
Yeah. And you know, you can always go back and look and say certain things go a different way and the records change. But if we're just going to, you know, just deal in cliches here, you can only play the people that are in front of you. And, you know, yeah, like one bounce one way and this could be a completely different team. But the fact of the matter is that we're coming into the stretch here where everyone thought the Packers would be, you know, in a absolute dogfight for not just their division, but just to make, you know, even the playoffs at the beginning of the season, really. And they come in here and a 10-3 to go into the last three games of the season, it's really hard to turn your nose up at it. So looking at the game that we got to see yesterday, and again, 20-15 win for the Packers over the Redskins, Aaron Rodgers had a fairly pedestrian day passing-wise, you know, in that offense. We'll talk about some of the struggles with the offense, but 18 of 28 and only 195 yards passing with one touchdown, got sacked four times yesterday. Mike, for me, the biggest thing for me that I took away from this is the offensive line the last couple of weeks has not looked as stellar as we saw, especially early on in the season. I think a lot of that has to do with Brian Bulaga. I don't think you really can't think that he's 100% right now, but Bakhtiari has not had the same kind of he's not played up to the same standard that he's usually holding himself to. And then in the middle there, you know, Billy Turner's obviously had some of his struggles, and Jenkins is still a rookie, playing at the level that he is, but still a rookie. For me, with this, all the struggles with the offense that have been going on this year, at this point in the season now, with the offense, I think that we saw against the Redskins, the offensive line's the biggest concern for me moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. And you're right, Brian Bulaga just doesn't seem healthy right now. He gutted out. He played very well against the Giants, and all the credit to him for that. He was great, but against Washington, he had problems with speed, and he got beat pretty cleanly by Ryan Anderson on that strip sack at the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. He just seemed to just not be confident in his lower body, and especially when you factor in Bakhtiari's penalty issues that he's had, not on Sunday, but on other throughout the season, he may have had to change his technique a little bit. He may have had to change the way he places his hands, how he uses his footwork, and just all these little things kind of compounded, especially when you're playing a few teams in a row now that have had really good defensive fronts. We saw San Francisco's defensive front, which might be the best in football, and they absolutely dominated. The Giants are no slouches up front either. Washington's got some good guys with Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Ioannidis, Ryan Kerrigan, when he was in there, had a really strong game. And now you're getting ready for the Bears, who might have Akeem Hicks back. So this is the big test for the line going forward, but there is good and bad with it. And like you said, Elgton Jenkins, still a rookie, but I thought he had a pretty good game. He was a massive benefit in the run game, especially. He was a big part of why Aaron Jones was as good as he was. And Corey Linsley is as steady as ever. But there's definitely some things to be a little nervous about with the offensive line. And there's only so much that Rodgers and the receivers can do to get things forward. But even kind of building off that, something that excited me a ton with what the offense did was how they used the running backs and tight ends in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's getting a lot of flack already, and I saw some guy, and I got into a debate on Twitter about Jimmy Graham, is, oh, he doesn't show energy or heart, stuff like that, but he was pretty fired up for those first couple drives when he had those two big catches, and he's a guy where when he brings the energy, and yes, he's a shell of what he was, but he was pretty important those first couple touchdown drives. Robert Tonyan obviously had the touchdown catch. Jay Sternberger got some targets. Mercedes Lewis had a couple targets. It just, the way they use their ancillary weapons, I think, was big, but they just need to find a way to keep that game plan going throughout the game.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up with Jimmy Graham, because he gets a lot of flack, and he's especially this year, been a big target for Twitter, and I've had my criticisms of him as well on there, but I don't think it's fair to ever question, especially a guy like Jimmy Graham, his want and his desire to be playing or, you know, work in this offense. I really think it is just a skill deterioration. Like, he's been playing at such a high level for so long. He can really only keep that up for, you know, however many years. There's gonna be a decline eventually. We just happen to have him at the end of his, you know, at the end of his career. So, yeah, I agree. I think that it was really good to see him get involved very early on. And, I mean, with the running back situation, too, a great afternoon from Aaron Jones again. Wasn't the same kind of one that we saw, you know, video game numbers for, like, the Cowboys game or Kansas City. But still, to rush for 134 yards today with 16 carries and the touchdown as well, had a couple of really nice, just it's been a while, it feels like, since we've seen that Aaron Jones break away into the second level for 25 yards. Had a 42 yarder today. It was really good to see the run game worked as well as it did, and the carries, it felt like, distributed pretty evenly as they should be between him and Jamal Williams, 16 to Jamal Williams 7 carries, and then Aaron Jones even led the receiving corps with 6 receptions, 58 yards, had a 25 yarder which tied for the longest of the day. So I mean, just great to see Aaron Jones being featured in this offense again, which is what we were all looking for. And I think that's a step in the right direction. It's just now trying to make everything fit all together and working at the same time, because still had trouble getting Davante Adams open. There was a couple times where Rodgers clearly upset with guys not being able to get open or not moving to the right spot. But to see guys like Robert Tonyan have a moment there as well. And then, yeah, even like Jay Sternberger as well, like you said. So that's the offensive production side of things. I think something to look at, too, is it seems like turnovers have become at least a thing to keep an eye on with this offense recently. in the fumbling side of things, because you know Aaron Rodgers does a great job of not forcing those bad passes, you know, not forcing any or many jump balls or just really kind of keeping an eye on things there. But Geronimo Allison really got a huge break by being ruled down on his one reception, and it could have cost another drive. Aaron Rodgers, like you mentioned, had the fumble as well. You know, it's just it seems like there's always something new kind of cropping up. It feels like that the offense is trying to handle and deal with. I don't know.
No, I'm glad you brought up the Allison play, because and he's another guy who's become a very popular punching bag through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And while I agree that his snaps probably should get reduced a little bit, on that play where it was his only catch of the game, he actually had made some nice moves in the open field after he had gotten up, even though he ended up being ruled back down later. He made some nice open field plays, but then a great job by the defense to poke it out, and yes, he got lucky. But also, remember earlier in the drive was Aaron Jones' big 25-yarder where he barely got grazed, where if that graze doesn't happen, he's waltzing into the end zone for an 80-plus-yard touchdown. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of those little things like we talk about in the beginning where something can go this way. It's the hindsight bias in ways. And with Geronimo Allison and with Jimmy Graham and a lot of these guys, there's a lot of hindsight bias going on and confirmation bias going on, whether we want to or not. And I have those as well, because I've been a defender of Jimmy Graham. I've been a defender of Kyler Fackrell ever since he was drafted. And luckily that justified me last year. But with these guys, they're still professional. They're still the best of the best in professional football. They're still playing professional football. And they can still make plays. And Geronimo was trying to make a play. He had some big plays against the Giants too. And it's one of those things where I'm not going to fault a guy for trying to make that extra effort. And yes, it didn't go his way and he got lucky coming it back. But it's one of those things where I'm not going to crucify a guy for making some good plays and having it end in the most not ideal way. It's not like he threw up a prayer for interception. It's not like he reached for the pylon and fumbled it out of the end zone. Washington's not a bad team. Yes, they're 3-10, but they had won two straight. They had just boat raced Carolina and got Ron Rivera fired.
Mm-hmm.
They're a solid team with a pretty decent defense. So I'm not gonna really go too hard on these guys against a team that is probably more talented than their record.
Well, and I'm glad you hit that too, because not only I agree, a talented roster. There is a lot of talent on both sides of the ball for the Redskins. And this is I talked with Steve earlier this week as we were kind of like looking ahead to storylines for this game coming up, and I said this game almost scares me a little bit more than the Giants game, and it was because the Redskins have already fired Jay Gruden. The season's a wash at that point. You've got a rookie quarterback back there. At this point, you are just trying to you're just trying to make plays. You're not playing for a postseason. You're not playing to save a coach's job. You're just going out there to try and put really good stuff on film for next year. And so if you're facing a team that has talent that hasn't been producing and now has nothing really to play for except pride and, you know, development for next year, that becomes a real dangerous combination. And I think we saw that a little bit today, as we saw how dangerous this team can be if they are playing you know, really inspired football.
Paging Mike McCarthy to Washington.
Can you imagine? That's really not the worst idea in the world. Is Mike McCarthy? I really would like to see Mike McCarthy get another gig if we can just sidetrack for a quick second. And I think he would fit in. I think he would fit in well with what Washington has, because Dwayne Haskins is a bit of a pro style quarterback. I think that works really well under a Mike McCarthy system.
There's plenty of good fits for McCarthy in the future, whether it's mm-hmm. Carolina, Washington, yep. Dallas could be a good fit. Cleveland could still be a decent fit. There's a lot of things good, and I think he'll be back next year, especially with the report that came out that he had hired a bunch of coaches to help himself scout and to figure out what his weaknesses were. But again, that's kind of sidetracking. But you kind of brought it up with Washington. Can we give some credit to Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, for real.
How tough was he in that game? And yeah, he had some rookie mistakes. The interception to Amos was definitely telegraphed and was not his best move. But sprained ankles are no joke. They're brutally painful, especially in a position where you're getting hit in the legs a lot. And he gutted that out like a champ. He did a solid job, and I can see why he was a first round pick. And I think Washington maybe finally found another quarterback, maybe. But with Dan Snyder, you never know.
Right. It's almost like has Dan Snyder found another sacrificial lamb? Because it seems every time he has to draft a quarterback, he's going to run him into the ground. And you hope that it's not that kind of situation. Because yeah, I agree that there's always kind of like a fine line between being tough and being stupid. You know, like if you're really super injured and you're putting yourself out there just for, you know, your own personal pride or your own personal gain, and it's a detriment to the team, you know, that crosses into that line of, you know, hubris or stupidity. But that wasn't what Dwayne Haskins, right? Exactly. But that's not what we saw from Dwayne Haskins today. What we saw from Dwayne Haskins today was a guy that very obviously wants to be an NFL quarterback, wants to be a part of this team. And I think, you know, there was a scene 2 or 3 weeks ago, I forget who they were playing, it might have been the Giants, where there was that clip that NFL Films grabbed of him on the sidelines going up to his, you know, offensive line and saying, like, what do you need from me? Like, what can I do to make this work? What can I do? And, you know, the feedback was really just, he doesn't look like a leader, because none of those guys in that offensive line group looked like they really respected him or gave him, you know, the time of day when he was trying to talk to him about that. I think he gained a lot of respect from, you know, a senior group in this Washington Redskins team, especially on that offensive line. It's going to be really hard to question his durability and his want for this team. And really, with the ankle, stat-wise, he finished pretty much on par with what Aaron Rodgers put up there. Just about the same amount of passing yards, still a touchdown. They both got sacked 4 times, same amount basically of attempts and completions. So he really had, you know, a similar passing game. The great thing for him is he's got a tremendous running game as well. And, you know, I think something has to be said, at least, you know, if you want to disregard the human side of the thing, of the situation for a little bit. But Adrian Peterson, just as a straight NFL player, it might be sacrilegious to give a former Viking this kind of praise, but to hit the 14,000 career yard mark today with his 76 carries and the touchdown today, that's really impressive.
Especially despite that he missed the better parts of 2 seasons.
Yes. And came back from at least one fairly significant knee injury, which he missed that time for, like you said. Yeah, to keep playing at the level he has, because it felt like a couple years ago when he joined up with the Redskins, it felt like it was just going to be kind of a pitiful swan song that just, you know, kind of fizzled out. But he's really had a career rejuvenation with this Redskins team, and it really caused a lot of trouble. And, you know, that speaks to something too with this defense. It's kind of curious that they still seem to have trouble stopping the run. I know that it was Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis who unfortunately left early with that injury, but, you know, when he was in, had a couple of really nice runs, finished with 42 on just 5 carries. But once we saw Dwayne Haskins obviously struggling to move in the pocket and even just really move to hand the ball off, it's obvious that they're not going to be passing the ball much, but the Packers still had trouble trying to stop the run. And I think if we're looking at the defense as a whole, they did their job. They created turnovers, and not just even create turnovers, but create opportunities for turnovers, because there were several fumbles that just didn't go their way one or two times, but created the turnovers, held them when they needed to, and did what they had to defensively to win the game, which is all you can really ask for. At the same time, the other side of the coin had a really hard time stopping a running game when it was very obvious that was pretty much all the Redskins were going to do. And I think that has to really still kind of sit in Mike Pettine's mind of, you know, when he's looking at game planning for, you know, you've got Dalvin Cook coming up in that Minnesota game, and then in the playoffs you're going to meet these teams that can move the ball on the ground. There's a great deal of running backs in the NFC right now. That running game has to be kind of the priority for this defense, it feels like.
No, I think you're right. And one thing is 4.3 yards total for Washington per carry. That includes Geis's 8.4. And Peterson averaged under 4 per carry. He went 20 for 76. It was a very workmanlike performance.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is they had some chunk runs. They also had a lot of 0-1 yard plays. And this might have been the best game Kenny Clark's played this year. The defensive line, I thought, was very good. Lancaster was a solid performance as well. And well, the yards are a little bit disturbing. It was 121 rushing yards. A big thing, another, we were talking earlier about Packer punching bags in social media. Blake Martinez, I thought, had a pretty good game, actually.
Yeah.
He had the 10 tackles, and he had 2 turnover plays wiped out. He had what looked like at first a forced fumble that was really ruled an incomplete pass later, in which Sims never had on the ball. Later on, he had a blitz where he completely just clobbered Chris Thompson, who was trying to pick it up, and had an easy sack, but that was turned over, I think, for a penalty. I think took that one back. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember that one clunky. But so he had a couple, all the talk was, can Martinez make those game-changing plays? Well, he almost did it twice, and neither of them actually counted. So it's one of those things where kind of just bad luck for him, but I thought the defense was pretty solid. The coverage, especially, I thought was really good. It kind of hurt without Kevin King, because Sims had a pretty solid game receiving, and Thompson on the backfield was all right. But Terry McLaurin was not that big of a factor till late, and even then, it took him basically one of the catches of the year to really make an impact on the game. But Jair Alexander, I thought, was really good. Savage and Amos were solid, And what more can be said about the edge guys? All 4 of them, I thought, were really, really good in the game. Za'Darius did what he does best, and that's just create some absolute havoc. Preston, mm-hmm. can't say he wasn't motivated to play his old team. He had a really good game. Fackrell got there as well. And on the play where I think Fackrell and Clark shared a sack, if that's another half second, Gary is right there as well.
Right.
So I thought the linebacking core played pretty well. The front 7 was pretty solid, and If you're going to hold the team that has Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis to just over 4 yards a carry, I am okay with that.
Yeah, I think you hit everything right on the head there. I think all of this goes back to the main point that we opened up with that this team obviously still has some issues to work out on both sides of the ball, but it's still a win, and they're still competing at a level enough that they are going out and being able to grind out wins like this. You know, this could be a heck of a lot worse. Like this could be, you know, the Browns. You know, this could be the Lions. You could be trying to figure this offense out and still be losing games, you know, by 1 score or 2 scores. The Packers, for all of the miscues and the, you know, the lurching of the offense and the issues on the defense as well, they're grinding out these wins, and that's really all that's important. And one thing I think we really have to touch on is probably, I don't know, can we call him an early favorite for Packer Hall of Fame or Packer Ring of Honor with
Tyler Irvin?
Yeah,
absolutely. Allen Rossum part 2.
Exactly. I mean, can I quote Aaron Rodgers and say we've got a special teams? We've got a return man, Tyler Irvin. 4 returns, 51 yards, an average of 12.8 returns at a long of 18. I thought it was, personally, I found the macabre humor in the, it was like maybe 3 times in a row he had, I think it was a return of like 8 yards, 12 yards, and 18 yards, and each time the announcer would say, well, that's the longest return this season. Well, now that's the longest return, and now that's the longest return. It's like, you know, when you play when you play Madden and you set a record and then you just keep breaking it and it keeps telling you you're breaking the record over and over and over again. Tyler Irvin, it's funny that we're a 51-yard return game and 12 yards average is something that we need to talk about, but just with the pitifulness of this return game this year, this has to be truly a bright spot out of this whole entire game.
Absolutely, and to be fair, a just shy of 13-yard average is pretty good for a punt returner anyway. But the fact that they went from the worst punt return team in history to no longer the worst punt return team in history over the course of one game is always a very good thing. And it starts also, the blocking was solid. The blocking was good. Irvin made a couple guys miss. He showed great instincts with able to find a crease and cut back. And it was just everything worked well. And all three of those bigger returns really helped get the Packers good field position. I think all three of them ended in Washington territory. I think so they had short fields. Even beyond Irvin, it's great to have J.K. Scott back as a good punter. He had a really good game, two punts inside the 20, averaged 40 yards a kick. Mason Crosby and he went 2 for 2, and I do love the my cause, my cleat thing that they did this week in the NFL, because I saw all the pictures of some of their spikes, and Mason Crosby's really kind of hit me in particular, because you saw on one, I think it was a picture of his wife, one was a picture of his sister-in-law, and it was for the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation. And so just seeing how personal this game probably was to him and to a lot of these other players, to see them perform well makes it even a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, again, that really did, if out of any of them, Mason Crosby's definitely hits home, you know, more than any, I feel like. So Mike, as we kind of, you know, wrap up here again, the Packers, a 20-15 win over the Redskins, moved to 10-3. We now move to that three-game stretch of the season that everyone circled at the beginning of the year, finish off with three divisional games. The last home game is this week against the Bears, and then obviously Vikings and Lions on the road. What are you looking for in the last three games of the season overall? Obviously, the divisional race is going to be up for grabs each and every week, and as you kind of mentioned, right now the Packers are sitting with a bye week at the number two seed. Is there anything in particular outside of those things that you're looking for as the team plays the last three games of the regular season?
Well, scoreboard watch is going to be a big thing for not only the players but us as well. And as we're recording this on Sunday night, I'm keeping track of the Rams-Seahawks game, because if Seattle wins that, the Packers can clinch this week if they beat the Bears. They can clinch a playoff spot. So there's that. But on the other side, I just want consistency. And as much as I've harangued people on social media, and I'm the optimist, the Packers do have issues to work out. They have things to work on. And against a Bears team that they've already beat once, and they're back at home now, the final home game of the year, this is a chance to really get a lot of those things hammered in, because you need Aaron Rodgers to be at his best. You need to figure out a way to balance Aaron Jones and Davante Adams and Jimmy Graham and Lazard and Jamal Williams and all these weapons that are there. The weapons are there. They just got to figure out how to use them properly. On the other side, this could be the thing the defense needs to get back on track is playing Mitchell Trubisky, who's had a couple solid games. He's still Mitchell Trubisky.
Right.
And they're still wanting for weapons in Chicago, and their offensive line is still fairly weak. This is a chance to really make a statement again. And throughout for the next three games, those division games, not only is it going to be big for them to get things right, it's also big for tiebreakers. When you look at standings, when you look at scores and how seeding goes, there are three division games, there are three conference games, and there are three for some teams' common opponents. So you need all of those in your favor to try and get that bye week. And so there's a lot of things to really keep an eye on over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think right down the list you hit everything I think that's important to be keeping an eye on. For me, yeah, I think the biggest thing has to be consistency, especially offensively. You know, because again, we saw this offense is what we saw the first couple of weeks, where the scripted play part of the game, those first kind of 20 plays, worked really well, and they were stacking those plays and being successful and really making things move. But what I really want to see is I want to see this offense make a drive happen where not every play is successful. You know, I want to see a drive that happens – not just because you're stacking a good first down run on top of, you know, the followed up with a second down pass and things like that. I want to see a really grind out offensive drive. I really just want to see Matt LaFleur take control and make this thing work, because, like you said, the parts are all there. We've seen it all work, and it's just about getting it to work consistently. And I think a lot of it has to do with Matt LaFleur and his comfortability calling these plays and making the decisions. And yeah, I think that I think you hit everything right there. And then with just especially with the Bears this week, it kind of becomes a bigger game than it was a couple of weeks ago because of, like you said, how Mitchell Trubisky played the last couple of weeks. This team, the Bears, a couple of weeks ago you said could have been a scenario that they came in and it was sort of a rollover game for them. If those other games go the other way, they're really not competing for anything. Mitchell Trubisky, you know, the narrative was still that he's not what they wanted. It was always, you know, looking at Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes being drafted behind him. And now, like, that narrative in the media is starting to, you know, be questioned as after we saw what happened on Thursday night. And this is a game that he could potentially use to make a statement. You've got to prevent that. And, you know, now the Bears even have a chance to make a run at the playoffs playing as well as they are and have an opportunity with the opponents that they play. So this game becomes a lot more important. Thank God it's at home, and thank God you got the win at Chicago in that first week. Otherwise, you know, the narrative changes a little bit. But yeah, just we'd really love to see a great consistent effort against a Bears team that I think you can use to make a statement going into that Minnesota game the following week. Mike, any final thoughts or anything that that we didn't touch on, or any last words that you want to throw in there?
I think the biggest thing is we're 10-3. Enjoy it.
Damn right.
Just remember how bad we felt last year. We had just fired a coach. We were in the dismal season. Our quarterback was playing with a broken leg. It's just everything was awful. But now we're a week away from potentially clinching a playoff spot. We're in double-digit wins. Everything's kind of clicking right now and record-wise, so just enjoy it. Seasons like this don't happen very often. So whether it's an ugly win, whether it's a pretty win, there's no style points at the end of the day. All that matters is how many games you've won, how many games you've lost. And when that number is 10-3, have some fun.
That's exactly right. And it's a Victory Monday. It's the one thing that makes Mondays even palatable at this point. So yeah, enjoy it, Packers fans. And make sure you stick with us the rest of the week as we get ready for that Bears game on Sunday. We'll have more episodes each and every day like we do every week. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review the podcast as well. It's always a huge help for us. Leave a positive review for us as well if you feel like it. Mike and I are both on Twitter as well. I'm on there at DK All The Way. Mike, where can the people find you on the Twitterverse?
You can find me at Mike Wetlands, all one word. It's just my name, so you can just search that up. You can find where many of the Packet people are. They follow me as well. You can find it through comment followers, stuff like that, if you can't spell it. And then I'm still working on some articles for Dairyland Express, some long form, like Packers history type stuff and breaking down Badger prospects for the draft, stuff like that. But yeah, I'm mostly going to be on Twitter, so just find me on there.
Perfect. Mike, this was fun. I had a blast breaking down this game with you. I'm glad that we got to do this for a victory. Would have been a little bit different if we had to talk about a loss, but I'm going to follow your creed. Enjoy it. Don't think about the bad stuff. Move forward and enjoy the 10-3 record. So it was a good time, Mike.
Absolutely. It's been a blast. Let's do this again sometime.
Yeah, I'll do it. We'll do lunch. We'll pencil it in. My people get with you and we'll figure out a time to do this again.
All right, sounds good.
And maybe we'll bring Chris on sometime too.
There we go.
All right, Mike, have a good one, and the rest of you guys, enjoy your Victory Monday, and as always, go Pack, go.